Hello, my name is Otis, and I'm with the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. With me today is Chris Olson, co-owner of Treasure Island. And we have a few questions for him. What advice do you have for young kidpreneurs like me?
Young kidpreneurs, well, question everything. Never assume that you know what you think you know, and take advice from other people, but you always want to be trying to understand the whole picture. So when somebody's teaching you something, they're giving you a little piece of a puzzle, and you got to try to fit it in with other pieces of the same puzzle, and you're trying to create a picture of the world for yourself. And so that's what I've done all my life, is just take little things, and sometimes you'll get a puzzle piece that doesn't fit anywhere, but you just got to take it and put it somewhere and wait until you find other pieces to put
align
together. Yep. And also, you know, don't think about like, well, I'm going to go to college, and that's the magic pill that will get me a good life and a good job in the future. You have to think about, why would I go to college? What career would I want to go into? And then you also have to think, is the career that I want to go into, is it something that people need? Is there a demand for it in society? Or am I just going to be throwing money down a hole to get a degree that gets me a job at McDonald's? So you got to really understand the world and try to find, you know, what am I good at and how can I help other people? Because in the end, being an entrepreneur means that you are delivering a service that people need, that people want. And that's how you make money. That's how you get rewarded for doing something that other people want. So you have to think about what is lacking in the world and what can I do to give people a service that they're not being given or do it better.
How important is giving back to your community?
Oh, very important. Because for me, family is the first and most important thing. I have five children that we homeschool. And family is, the family unit is really the root of civilization. So I'm a very traditional sort of person when it comes to that sort of thing. And a lot of people think that life could be reduced to just markets and money and profit margins. And so for a lot of people, that's what motivates them. But business and markets and money, those things are there to serve people who come first. People come first, families come first, communities come first. And so we all have a life together to enrich one another as human beings who love each other and protect one another and serve one another. And so that's really the ultimate purpose. And so giving back, how do we do that here? We pay people a very fair wage. We pay people more than we could pay them. You know, we could get away with paying them less, but we want to pay them more. We like to see our employees happy. If they have a family emergency or they just need some time off, we're going to do that. So we're all kind of a big family here. And so we take care of each other, and we care about each other. And so that's how we give back.
I have two little side questions.
Sure.
One, how much vacation days do you allow your employees? And two, if one of your kids was in danger, would you trade this whole place to save him?
Yeah, I would take a bullet for my kids.
Yeah.
If somebody said, you know, you get to make the choice. You're going to die right now, or your son's
die.
Gonna die.
You I'd be die, like, your yeah. son lives.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, take me right now. No questions asked, absolutely. So yeah, if I would pay any price to make the world a right place. And if that, and especially with my children and my family, yeah, I would give up anything. How much time off do we give our people? It depends on how much time they work. We've got part-time people, we've got full-time people, but typically we like to see our people get at least 2 weeks, if not 4 weeks.
2 weeks year. Consecutive? Or
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, or they can split it up any way they want. Me, I don't get any vacation.
Wah, wah, wah.
I'm the boss. But I need to take a vacation.
Just burden your dad with it.
Yeah.
Say, Dad, I'm taking a vacation. Bye. See you in 2 weeks.
Well, that's a nice thing, is that's what my dad gets to do. He gets to come and go as he pleases now. So that's the other reason I'm here, so that my dad can relax and be retired and do things that are fun. So he's put in his time, and so now I'll pick up the slack and make it so that he can retire in peace and feel like everything's taken care of.
Sure got a nice retirement fund here.
Yeah. Yeah, we do all right.
How is Treasure Island started?
Treasure Island was started, well, my dad, when he was your age, had a paper route in Kindred. And so he would be delivering papers to all the different people in the town, and they would be paying him with coins, and I don't know what the subscription price was, but he'd go along and collect everybody's subscriptions, and he would go through the coins that they gave him, and he collected coins at the time. And so he would pick out the rare ones and replace it with common ones, and then he would turn the money into his to the newspaper people, and they weren't looking for rare coins, so they didn't care. They just wanted their nickels and their pennies and their dimes. But he would select out the good ones and collect coins. And so his love of coins led him into a love of metal detecting. And so he did a lot of metal detecting when he was a young man. And so he could find rare coins just laying in the dirt. And so that became a really big hobby for him. And he would go around doing that everywhere he could. He would look up where an old school used to be in 1895, but today it's just a farm field, and he'd go metal detecting in that farm field and find all kinds of stuff or go to a park. And so in his 20s, he opened up a shop called Treasure Island, and it was a metal detector store. It wasn't even a coin store at first. And slowly, he began to accumulate an inventory of coins because people that come in looking for metal detectors,
trade them in.
They would bring coins and say, hey, do you want to buy these coins? And he'd say, well, sure, why not? Yeah, I'll buy your coins. Or then they'd say, hey, do you have any of these coins that I need? Well, I happen to have some coins that I just bought 2 days ago, and here. Now he can make a profit. He can sell them for a little bit more than he bought them for.
So if he buys them for $5, he can sell them for $5.50 or $6.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's profit, and take his $50 or $1.
Right, and profit is just the market's way of rewarding you for providing a service. And so, yeah, so he would do that, and it just grew from there. Then it got into gold and silver and more rare coins, and just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then 1980 happened. And in 1980, the price of silver shot up to $50 an ounce.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, it was just a parabolic move. We've got some charts right there. You can see what happened to the price of gold right there, actually. If you look there in 1980, you see, yeah, 800 there. But look what it went up from $100 to $800. So you had an 800% price increase.
$30.
Yeah, and that's...
to $1,200.
Yep. And so
that is amazing.
So when that happened, that little thing right there on the chart, Treasure Island was in the basement of the mall, and there were people coming from all over the state with their gold and their silver to sell him. And I think my dad worked 12 or 14 hour days every day for about a half a year. He couldn't stop buying gold and silver from... There were lines out the door, up the stairs, and down the hall.
There were stairs?
It was in the basement of the mall. So, and I remember being a kid, walking around and just looking at these lines of people, and my mom was there, and my dad was there, and they were just paying out money and buying gold and silver, and he'd be driving down to Minneapolis to the refinery to send it into the melters, and it was just nonstop. And so... We got a really, really good start from 1980, and it's just continued on. You can see that what the prices have done, and so it's a fun business.
Nice. I have two more questions for you.
Okay.
So when he buys the coins, when he buys the gold, he spends money on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then why does he take it down to Minneapolis to put it in the refinery?
Well, back then, because he had to get his money back. So he has to refill his bank account with cash. So, say he had a couple $100,000 and everybody came in all day, and pretty soon he's run out of money. He's got a pile of gold and silver and no more money to buy anymore. So he's maxed out. And there's more people that want to buy and sell gold and silver tomorrow. So he's got to go get that cash back. So he's got to take it to the next level up in the marketplace to sell it to somebody else who's buying it. And so you have a big chain of demand and exchange for the metal. And so he had to go exchange his for cash, and now he's got his cash again so he can buy more from the people that are bringing it.
Well, thank you for your time, Chris.
Sure.
Chris Olson, co-owner of Treasure Island.
It was a pleasure.
You know we do what we do so we can survive. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
A perfect winter getaway is waiting for you in the Black Hills. The Lodge at Deadwood Gaming Resort offers luxurious guest rooms, first-class casual fine dining, and the largest convention facility in the area. Recently voted best casino, hotel, and restaurant in the Black Hills, the Lodge at Deadwood has everything you need for the perfect winter getaway. Skiing and snowmobiling are located just minutes from the Lodge. Or ask about gaming and spa packages. Elevate your experience. Visit DeadwoodLodge.com. Deadwood's newest legend.
My name is Otis and I am the host of Kids in Capitalism. I would like to take this time to talk to you about Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, you need to give Hatch Realty a call today. Hatch Realty is the number one real estate team in North Dakota according to the Wall Street Journal, and is featured in Inc. Magazine's 5,000 fastest growing private companies in America. Eric Hatch has been endorsed by Barbara Corcoran from the hit show Shark Tank. He was voted best real estate agent by the firm of Fargo Moorhead, is an alumni association, Horizon Award winner from North Dakota State University, and the host of Real Estate Radio. When buying or selling real estate, there is only one company to call, and that's Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Give Eric Hatch and Hatch Realty a call today at 701-212-1572. Again, that's 701-212-1572. Or check them out online at livefargomoorhead.com. Again, that's livefargomoorhead.com. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate.